Welcome to the Jointery Podcast, a podcast where we study the lives of study the lives of two dads trying to find the balance between the families, hobbies and work. This week on the Jointery, we discover
how naive I was compared to what I know now is a miraculous comeback.
Let's search for the meaning of life as it had never been witnessed before. The Jointery Podcast.
What? It's after dark here.
It's go time. It is go time.
It's after dark here. There's no kids in my house, so I'm like, fuck it.
Podcast after dark.
I'm gonna get real high for this podcast.
I can see that already.
Hold on, I gotta go.
Why are you hiding yourself?
Because I got this weird thing about me being on film smoking weed, right?
Yeah, but you just literally blew it into the camera.
That I don't care about. It could have been anything. You didn't see me smoking weed, did you?
Oh, no. I did.
But I mean,
nobody else.
Well,
did.
No, but like you didn't see like put the pipe to my lips and like take the end off of it.
That quick turnaround that nobody would.
Yeah,
ever, yeah. Nobody, yeah. Ever, nobody would know what that's going.
You can't tell. You can't tell what's up. But yeah, so I get it because I am. My dad put this paranoia in me, right?
That's so funny.
Did I tell you about his rules to smoking pot? His two rules to smoking pot, or at least this is the two rules when he first found out I started smoking pot that he gave me. Did I ever lay down the law for you?
I don't know if you did. I think you might have. I don't remember though.
You want me to retell the story?
Of course.
All right. Well, we have new stories.
We have new listeners, obviously. You know.
Sweet. Welcome to the party. This is the Jointery Podcast. We just kind of go ahead. If you think you have a plan, this is not the podcast for you. I'm already talking you out of listening. All right. So here's the thing. Hold on. Let me drink some 8-hour-old coffee.
Oh, nothing better than cold coffee.
I'd love it. So, okay. So like when my dad first found out that I smoke a week, keep in mind, this is like maybe 20 plus years ago.
How old were you?
This was like during college. Right?
Oh, wow. They didn't find out till then. Holy shit.
I didn't smoke weed or really drink until sophomore year of college. I was like the naive, dude who like, dude, how naive I was compared to what I know now is a miraculous comeback. It's taken me decades, but I did it. Kind of.
Was your dad smoking herb the whole time you were growing up?
Yeah, yeah.
Did you know that?
Yeah, because like in the 80s, you know, when Nancy Reagan was telling everybody, you know, just say no. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
And like
your
my
dad,
teachers,
your dad was saying yes.
Well, my teachers are like, hey, you know, if you know anybody who smokes weed, you should tell your teacher. So I go home and be like, hey, so this is what they're telling me at school. And I'm not going to say what they said because I know my parents listen to the podcast. But let's just say that I never once mentioned it to anybody ever. And people would come over and they would know, like as I got like was like after I was like 16, 17 and like friends are coming by who knew what that smell was. Like,
yeah,
you know, dudes are like, Luke's parents are cool. That's all they'd say. Luke's parents are cool. I'm like,
that's not the reason
they said that, but that did not hurt their cause.
Well, yeah, so, yeah, yeah, for sure. That's crazy though, man. Like, I started in high school, so like I started smoking weed,
but I didn't drink or smoke until my sophomore year of college. Like, I tried booze my freshman year, but sophomore year it got wild quick.
High school, nobody ever had a party. There was no booze at the party. You never like snuck a beer with your friends.
I was always hanging out with kids that were my friends were all a year younger than me, right?
Oh, okay.
I did not like anybody in my grade. They were all a bunch of dicks. If you listen to the podcast and we went to high school together, I probably thought you were a dick. So I'm pretty safe in that because and the people that I still talk to, they're dicks too, but they're just my style of dick.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So what were we talking about? I'm pretty high.
You were saying how your dad
rip right before
you were saying how your dad didn't ever catch you until you were in, and he was going to tell you, he gave you two rules to live by.
Yeah. So So I remember where we're going. So the reason I didn't like drink or smoke is because like my parents' general party rule was, we don't give a fuck what you do as long as nobody drinks or drives. That was it.
Yeah.
Like, we got one rule. Don't fuck with that rule. Right. And I still like even when I had a boat, like I never drove the boat while I was drinking. People were like, you're out on the lake. Fucking have a beer. I'm like, yeah, but it's your life in my hands. So you really want to push that? See how my willpower is? Like, oh, I'm cool not drinking. That's an option. And 100% of the time they'd be like, yeah, you're good. Don't drink shit. But no, like freshman year, I got to college and like I was so unhappy with high school, right? I just did not have that high school experience that everybody loves. I hated high school, right?
Yeah.
So I couldn't wait. And I picked my college because none of the people I knew from high school were going to that college.
Yeah, right? That makes sense.
That was a huge part of it for me because I was like, I'm going to figure out who I am at college because none of you dicks helped me out whatsoever with that process. You only made me hate myself. So I'm like, I'm just going to fucking go to college and figure this shit out. And freshman year, I kind of was like, all right, let's see what's about to go down. And I saw what went down and I was like, okay. And I found my lane and I fucking went hard.
Yeah. That's crazy, man. So what were your dad's rules to live by?
Yeah. But keep in mind, okay. Yeah. So the first rule was the less people who know you get high, the better. Right.
Okay.
Yeah, which this day and age, that rule is irrelevant, right? Doesn't matter. Like everybody's smoking weed right now.
Yeah.
Some people aren't. They're alcoholics, which is fine. If you're not smoking weed, I guarantee you still get blackout drunk, right?
I like that.
Your wife won't let you.
I like those only two third, options.
Yeah. Your third option is your significant other put the brakes on that. So so that was the first one. Is less people you know who know.
Keep your circle small.
Keep your circle small, right?
Yeah.
Which is fucking hilarious because one day, right, when medical marijuana became legal in Illinois, like it was like a week into it kind of shit.
Yeah.
My dad texts me and he's like, yo, check it out. And he sends me a link to an article, right, in the Highland Park Pioneer Press, okay? And in this article, it was talking about how marijuana is helpful to certain people in the community. Yeah. And people should also consider the health benefits. And featured in this article was my father, right? Who got interviewed in this fucking article, okay? And in there's pictures of him in the weed store. He's not like holding a joint or nothing. And he looked very sophisticated. He looked like he wrote novels. Is kind of the look he had, right?
Like a smoking jacket.
He had a fedora on and like a leather vest, maybe. I don't remember. I just remember looking at it and I'm like, well, you look great in the photos. I gotta say that. And you, like, the article didn't, like, you know, it was just him talking about how, like, he suffers from things like arthritis and things like that. And, like, weed helps. But, I mean, it wasn't like he was not smoking it before the arthritis, you know? So
he's had arthritis since high school.
He was born with glaucoma. I feel for him. I could have pictured him any other way, and I love my father. So that's.
I was going to ask you before you said, but no, of course, before you said he was in a weed store where they interviewed him. I was curious, like, with a guy who his first rule is to keep his circle small, how did these people find out that he smoked weed and to interview him?
Well, something my dad has the ability to do is that when he goes into a store, because he did this professionally his whole career, people fall in love with him in the store.
Yeah.
Right. Everyone gets excited to see him. So, like, if he went in there like two or three times and they had the same employees, I guarantee you they knew who he was. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, if they're like, hey, could we interview some of your customers? Right. I'm sure they were like, well, we know that guy. So that guy there is cool. Talk to him. Yeah. He'll hook it up. No problems. You don't have to worry about him. So
that's so funny. All right. So, what's rule number two?
I mean, look, dude, I was raised, my childhood was unique in a lot of ways. So, rule number two, don't get caught. Simple rule, right?
Yeah.
And this is like a lot of the like sayings that my dad has told me over the years. They're pretty simple like this. And it you really got to spend some serious time thinking about it, right?
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
Don't get caught is a very broad rule, right? Like that, first of all, it goes hand in hand with rule number one, right? Because the less people know you get high, the better. So that way, if they don't know you're getting high, then like they're never going to think anything of it, right? So like be discreet about some shit. Like this is like weed etiquette. Right. Like now I still respect it, but I don't like, you know, and I don't think I rub it in people's faces or anything like that, but I'm not, you know, I'm an open book about everything. Why not be an open book about this too?
Yeah, so. Of course. I just think it's, I also think it's funny that he told you that rule as he's catching you.
Look, he was really cool about it. Right. Cause like I told my mom and, cause you know, I tell my mom everything, she's going to yell at me about saying this because regularly now I don't tell her about shit. It's just because I'm just too tired to fucking tell anybody. She's like, I had to learn about shit on your podcast. I'm like, you want me to stop doing the podcast?
you want me to cut you off, Mom?
Yeah. I can spend that time talking to you. You know, you might get less out of me. So anyways, it's a good deal all around. Everybody's happy. So. Yeah, so, you know, it's like, I don't know. I'm very casual about it because I think people should be casual about it.
Yeah. So. It's funny. Me and Debbie joke around all the time that, like, our kids are going to, like, you know, at some point in their life, they're going to walk into a party or they're going to be somewhere and they're going to smell, that smell is going to be in the air and they're going to be like, smells like home. You know what I mean? It smells like, you know, because even though we try our best to keep it away from them, you know, and keep, you know, they're getting older and we're not getting any better at hiding it. So, you know, it's like at some point they've had to have smelt it. They've had to have, you know what I mean? I'm just saying, I'm being honest. You know what I mean?
My kids have for sure smelled it. They they probably don't know what it is, but they know they smell it at night, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
When they're supposed to be abed.
Yeah. It's just funny.
But, and then Ellie has seen me hit my pen once or twice.
That's so funny, dude. The other day
that's when I thought I was being discreet and I take a big hit off it. She turns around and is like, hey Dad, and I'm like, she's like, is that smoke coming out of your ear? I'm like, no. Don't, what the fuck do you want? You had a question.
I'm Puff the Magic Dragon.
It's cold outside. I can see my brother. You saw it too. She's like, Dad, I'm in shorts. I'm like, fuck.
When we went to fight Firestone about Debbie's car, and we're like, you know, in between like arguing with the guy and walking into the office where he was, you know, he was walking through the shop. I went around the outside to meet him in the office and the kids were sitting in the car waiting for us, and I'm sitting there hitting my pen, you know, over and over and over again because I'm just so fucking pissed. And Frankie rolls down the window, goes, "Dad, what are you smoking? Why are you smoking?" And I'm like, "Oh my god, dude, I forgot they were there." You know what I mean? Because I was so just like out of sorts, you know.
No, dude, I was walking with Ellie and her friend somewhere, and I figured, hey, she's with her friend. She never pays me any attention at all. So I just dropped back a little bit. You know, they were just yammering around and talking, and I was like, I can hit this real quick. Of course, that's the moment she decides, the first moment in history since she had friends, she decided to bring me into the conversation. So, cool.
Man. So how else is your week going, bro? Everything going great, well for man. You?
Yeah, it's been great. I've been chilling a lot. Jackie took the week off, you know, and I've got some downtime, so I've been chilling with her a lot.
Nice.
And we've had a good amount of family time. You know, we had Christmas, and then we all got together again to play Monopoly, a rematch.
Ooh, how'd that go?
Poorly. I'm on a bad rolling streak, man. See, Monopoly in my, like, it's funny, like very... All of my wife's family is pretty quiet and reserved people generally, right?
Yeah.
But when they play Monopoly, a side of them comes out that scares people. Right? It's so contradictory to what they normally talk about, and it is basically a verbal argument for hours, right? they fight about everything. They argue about every move, every rule. I'm like, well, guys, we've played this game multiple times. So when I first got into the family, like this whole Monopoly thing, dude, I had no idea how serious it was, right?
Yeah.
So the first few times, man, like they slaughtered me. Like, boom, you're gone, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And we don't play all the time, but like it's definitely around Christmas, right? And sometimes like occasionally, like we used to do these family vacations, which we might start up again. And like on family vacation, we would play once or twice. And so like, so you're talking about only two or three opportunities, maybe a year to compete. Oh, yeah. With the family, with Monopoly. And so I went like a few years with no luck whatsoever. But then I hit a back-to-back streak right before COVID. Right? Okay. And I've been talking shit about how I was a two-time undisputed Monopoly champion. Right? Like all the time. Anytime we get together, like I would bring that shit up. I'm like, I'm thinking about making myself a belt. Right, like wrestler style, you know. Well, and they
I'm
just
surprised,
like
I'm surprised you didn't make yourself a top hat.
I mean, I don't know. So here's the thing though, right? We've played like since I won those two, we played like two times, both of which the game didn't finish due to people just arguing too much.
Oh my god,
dude, this was one game we tried playing and they argued for an hour and a half, but like nobody rolled, nobody did anything. They just tried to negotiate and argued for like an hour and a half, and like everybody else just got up and left the table. Right.
What so by the time what are they arguing about?
Dude, it's like trades and deals and like everything, man.
Oh, so off book stuff. They're arguing about like trying to sell property to each other and what they're going to get for it. Oh, okay, I got you.
And everyone else is all, and everyone's looking for opportunities to cheat. Like, you know, like, you know, it's not a, like, it's not a big deal if you cheat, but if you get caught, it's a huge deal, you know? So it's, but you got to watch it. You got to pay attention, man. Like, oh dude, they have a rule that, if somebody lands on your space, right. And you, and by the time the next person rolls, if you did not tell them that they land on your space, you do not have to pay rent.
Oh yeah, no, that, yeah.
Like the dine and dash.
Yeah, we play that rule. I was going to ask there's any outside rules that apply. Okay, that's one of them. Are there any other ones?
Not really, because I've been playing this so long with them that I can't even remember what the ones that they are different than the way they play it. But
okay.
But it's a lot of fun. But I got slaughtered both times, dude. I was the first one with a Monopoly in both runs. And I was the first one out in both ones. Rolled so badly.
Do you have a certain properties that you target? Are you a certain?
You know, I always like the Indiana, Kentucky red ones.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
I like those ones because people around the corner and because like the orange ones are probably the most successful, I'd say.
Oh, yeah, definitely. St. James Place.
But I rarely get an opportunity to get the orange ones. But if you think you just got past the orange ones, you get whacked on those red ones.
Yeah.
And so like those aren't bad. You're getting scraps, but you're getting something.
Yeah, that whole opposite side of boardwalk and stuff is usually a pretty good.
Yeah.
You do pretty well there, I think too.
Dude, I landed on chance, community chess, and tax bullshit fucking every single time. Dude. I have no idea. Like, I landed on jail. I landed, you know, didn't land on Park Place. Free parking. Fuck that. I didn't land free parking. So, like, that one just sucked. But I was able to use my super negotiating skills. and this time, I threw a new term into the negotiating. Because, like, when they're swapping properties, right?
Yeah.
It's beyond getting what you want to get. It's how many free passes do I get?
Oh, right? Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
So they'll be like, you know, because like instead of money, it's free passes sometimes, right?
Yeah, I get that.
So, but I think the free passes are stupid, right? So what I did with my brother-in-law is I proposed rent control, right? So I said, look, here's the deal. I'll trade you this so you'll have the Monopoly for Boardwalk and Park Place.
Yeah.
But I don't want to have to pay more than $200 every time I land on those things. Smart. I'll still give you some money. But I felt like $200, like I think we could both live with that. Yeah. And he was like, you know what? He was like, let's try this out. He was ready for it. My wife was like, you can't make up new bullshit like this. What the fuck is wrong with you? you know, my other brother-in-law was in agreement with my wife, and we argued about that for a good 20 minutes. So,
why I say those that like stuff like that to me is open season, man. You can negotiate whatever you can negotiate it. You know what I mean?
Look, if I could come up with some creative terms to negotiate off of, that will give me an advantage against negotiating against other family members.
Yeah, I'd say it. I'm all in for that.
Because like if you cheat or are shady at all, right? Like people remember the other games, right? You
know, oh yeah,
dude. They're like, you remember 2021? What you did? Remember that? You got to do that shit again. Fuck you. Like that ain't happening. Like Jesus Christ!
Is it the same group of people that play, or they're...
every time? But this time it was funny. So my daughter played with. She played with somebody both times.
Yeah.
And then both of my nieces played. One is 20 or 21 and the other one's like 13. And so listening to their dad negotiate with them I was like, man, you're cheating your own daughter out of a deal. Like, bro, like, where's the line, man? You are just like taking full advantage of your daughter. And he's like, and I said this in front of his daughter. And he's like, she has to learn somehow. I'm like, she's wow.
Did I tell you about when my niece came to visit recently? And she played Battleship with my daughter?
No, you didn't tell me about this.
Same exact thing. They're playing Battleship, right? They go, oh, Penny goes, you want to play Battleship? And Kelsey's like, yeah, no problem. I love playing Battleship. I go, all right, awesome. I go over, I grab the game, and I give it to them. They're sitting down playing. I go out of the room and go do, I forget what I was doing, but then I came back in like 10 minutes later, and they're playing. And yeah. I walk over and look at Kelsey's board, my niece. She's like 27 or whatever, however old she is. She has all her pieces stacked on top of each other, like stacked up. Like so that
oh wow so like the submarine is on top of the battleship and it's on top of the other yeah. one
so that's the whole so like Penny's like hasn't got one hit the whole time and I walk around and I'm like I know exactly where you learned that from and I don't appreciate you trying that stuff on my daughter here.
Who did she learn it from?
From my brother, her dad. Oh. That's exactly how he played Battleship when we were kids. He would pull crap like that. And dude, so it's like
you have to go through all the pre-rules when you do this. Like, okay, so we're going to play Battleship. First, no stacking ships.
Yeah,
is that exactly. We're in agreement? No stacking ship. Okay, good. Next up.
Yeah, I would never have thought that of her, though. Like, of all the kids, like, she always seemed like the one that would be playing fair. But no, she clearly learned from her dad. That's why it made me think of my brother would get, I guarantee you, he'd be taking full advantage of his daughters if they were playing Monopoly. Oh. If you ain't cheating,
my daughter was,
you ain't trying.
Dude, when my daughter was playing and sitting there playing with, I think she was playing with Jackie at the time. Like, I leaned into her and I'm like, you following this? She's like, yeah, I got this. I'm like, okay, good. I know she doesn't, but you know, like,
yeah,
pay attention to what's going on. I'm like, this is gonna be good shit for you. This is a good lesson point, how to get over in life.
Yeah, at some point she's gonna be part of that game too. You know what I mean? She's gonna, you know, grow up into that game.
It's gonna be savage because my daughter talks a lot of shit, right? So, like, if I lost to her, like if he came down and it was her versus me, and I lost to her, man. I won't outlive hearing about it. So
yeah. Oh, dude, I played checkers with Frankie, or not checkers. Tic Tac Toe. The
yeah.
They got like a mini game the other day for Christmas. Like, and yeah. Just like flip toggle the little things. They flip over and has X and O. I played with Frankie, and he beat me one game. And bro, the rest of the day, he like would not let me hear, hear the end of it. And he just like kept repeating it over and over again. I beat Dad at tic-tac-toe, Dad. Go ahead.
That day is coming soon with Bubs and video games.
Oh yeah.
Oh dude, no. we were at my brother-in-law's house and they let Bubs play video games. He's putting in the hours. He's putting in the work. Okay. So they had this one game. It's like a running game. And it's like basically you just side scroll run. And the goal is to outrun everybody else. And you can kind of screw over other players a little bit and like do some other
stuff. Yeah. Yeah.
But dude, I went and picked it up and I played twice. And I watched him play other people. He was winning most of the time. Right.
Yeah.
It involves double jumping. It involves the wall jumping back and forth. This is stuff that I didn't think like a 6-year old would be able to figure out real quick.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
So I'm like, let me see what he's got, right? Dude, I played him against him twice and he was fast as fuck. I could not keep up with his little ass. Dude, he's bouncing out the walls, fucking rope swinging off of shit. Like, he hadn't figured the slide part to go underneath the boxes yet, right? Like, because he would crash right through him. But even crashing right through him, he was still faster than me. I'm like, you little shit, man.
Jeez, that's crazy. I played Mario Kart with Frankie the other day because they're home from school for vacation. So we've been doing a lot of video games too. And I have yet to lose to him in Mario Kart. That is my freaking thing I stand on. You know, my pillar I stand on. Like they have not beat me at
Mario Kart. No mercy policy, dude. My brother instituted the no mercy policy in video games in college. And ever since then, it has been a dark time for playing video games against my brother. That's what you need to do with your kids. That's how you need to be against your friends. It is a fuck you. We're playing a game. It's business, not personal. Yeah. Take it. You just take that shit. Yeah, no, you I dominate don't let him, bro. Sneaky slap him, whatever you're going to do.
I definitely don't let him win. That's the thing. And the other day I was playing and Debbie was sitting there watching me and I came in first twice in a row and she gave me that look like, oh, look at you, Mr. Man over there. It's like, yeah, it's me. I'm the man.
Come get some.
Yeah. She was impressed. My wife was impressed with me a little bit. I was happy about that.
Dude, you got to take those wins where you can get them.
You should believe me. I know.
Oh, did you just say something nice? Okay. Hold on. I got to get my journal out. Today was a beautiful day.
Before we move on from games real quick, I actually had what we were playing. They got a game for Christmas called Kids versus Parents. And it's basically like trivia. About? It's like trivia, basically. And there's like kid level questions and parent level questions. And then there's challenges like halfway through, you know, there's like four or five challenge spots that you can land on. One of the questions for the kids though was it was so fucking funny. It was like, what city? It was like one of the last questions too for them to win the game. And and before you play, you wager something. Like it has a little board that you wager, like, you know, if you win,
the kids win. Jeopardy?
You know, no, like if the kids win, they win, you know, they wanted ice cream sundaes for 2 days.
Oh,
In the week. And for us, it was, they had to keep their rooms clean or whatever. And so one of the questions at the very end, it's like, Dad, give us an easy question. And I was like, okay, this is a pretty easy question. I think you guys will get this for the win. The question was, what city is the Panama Canal, or what country, I'm sorry, is the Panama Canal in? You know what I mean?
Oh, like, don't tell me to fuck this up.
And I read it to him like three times. What country is the Panama Canal in? And after the third time, Penny goes, Panama Canal. Oh, Panama Canal. Oh, China. Dude, I was dying. Me and Debbie were just dying, dude. She said it was just because the way she said it, she was so confident. She was like, Panama Canal. Oh, China. It's just like, oh, man. That was so funny.
Like, that is a mistake that anybody can make. But seriously, though. Congrats on your kids not winning another thing, man.
Yeah. I know.
It's good, man.
Yeah, that's funny. It's funny. What else got going on, dude? Did you have you been on Instagram this week? You've been looking at people's stories and stuff?
I've been a little bit, but not really. I've been really just spending time with the lady. You know, I've been posting, and I look at it a tiny bit, but like, man, it's like when you know you got nothing going on, but you still end up being really busy, at least you feel like you're busy. Like that's what is going on. And today, I've been messing around with this 3D printer. I got one of those bamboo printers, which is holy shit. Like, we could talk about that someday. But
that's that like printer, the hot new printer. That's like the hot new printer. I see it all over. Well, let me rephrase that. I see it on all three of yours, Ben Myers, and Dave's page. Yeah.
Well, and also if you follow Pete Squared, he has one too, right?
Oh, Pete Squared, yeah.
And dude, it's like it's the Tesla move, right? So like before Teslas were an electric vehicle, right? Yeah. Whatever. But when the Tesla Model S came out, Tesla Instant became the gold standard for electric vehicles in terms of like brand knowledge. Like when you think of electric cars, like you always think of Tesla, right? And like theirs was like light years ahead of everybody else's. Like it was incredible, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And like you can't have a conversation about best electric vehicles without including Tesla in that conversation, right?
Yeah, of course.
And that's what this printer is. Like for 3D printers under $1,000, if you're talking about which is the one to get, right? You can't have that conversation and not include the P1P. That's the one I got, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like just that alone, man, is such an incredible machine. Like it blew I don't know how they did it. Like, and the fact that it's so funny to me that I learned today that it has these speeds that you could, like, different speeds you could do. Like, it's really noisy printer, but you could run it at half speed, right?
Yeah.
Which is still faster than my other printer, right? And it just doesn't make a lot of noise, right?
Or you could say half speed?
At half speed. Okay. Or you could run it at sport speed, which is 125%. Or you could run it at ludicrous, which is ludicrous speed, is the same speed as Tesla was when they broke 0-60 in under 3 seconds, right? It was like 2.7 or 2.8 seconds, and they called it ludicrous speed, right?
Yeah.
And like the logo was plaid, right? Just like in the Spaceballs movies.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's a total reference to Spaceballs, which I love.
Yeah. So this company has ludicrous speed, which is 166%. And like it is rocking so fast that I'm afraid that if I was in the office or if I was not in the office watching it, like it might like tip the file cabinet. It's on a file cabinet that's heavy and it rocks the file cabinet. Like I need something sturdier to put it on. Right.
Crazy. Yeah.
But like you could run this thing at ludicrous speed and dude, it's moving faster than you can move your hand. For sure, bro. Like, it is zipping back and forth so fucking fast. You can't see it laying filament. Like, you can't even focus on the head of the thing. It's moving so fast.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's like, to think that, like, okay, we're at 2022 at the end of it, right? 2 years from now, most printers will probably go this fast, right?
I would think so. Once the technology comes out, everybody jumps on it and, you know.
Which means that, like, within 4 years, there's going to be one that it makes this one look slow, dude. It is a leap for the home, like user 3D printer. So it's pretty incredible. And like the people I know who are getting them are basically selling all their old 3D printers.
Right? Oh, I can imagine.
And just buying more of these because they're
why have the? I mean, you've already proven to me just by seeing your stories today. I was like, well, now that I know that there's this one, why would I even want to buy the other one?
Well, you know the other one is a Prusa, right? And a Prusa is the gold standard, was the gold standard up at this point. But like, it was. But like the thing is that like the Mark III, which is the one that most people buy because of the size, is like 5 years old at this point. Right. So like it's a sweet printer. It's still a sweet printer. And like they do little tweaks to it or whatever, but like it's like for the same price, this bamboo printer, bro, it's like, hold on to your pants. Let's go.
Like, you need to do a reel like wearing your Vader helmet and do like the space ball, you know, ludicrous speed.
Ludicrous speed. And I'll just splice in the dude from the Spaceballs movie, man.
There you go. It's not as funny if you're not doing it, though.
I mean, no, but I'd be in it, too. Oh, I'd be the guy next to him, like, what?
You could play what the Colonel Sanders about? Part. The Colonel Sanders part, yeah.
Yeah.
That would actually be really funny.
I'll be one of the other jackasses, you know.
One of the other assholes, you mean?
Yeah. Well, any one of them. Yeah, the assholes, exactly. So...
Oh man,
I've been screwing around this printer, and I got in the shop today, which is cool. I carved I carved a new design today for the first time, and it's pretty cool, so I'm excited about it.
Sharing?
Yeah, because it's for my brother-in-law, and he knows I'm making a record stand, but he doesn't know what the design looks like. And I know he doesn't listen to this podcast. The only people in my family that listen to it are my parents and maybe my in-laws. I don't know. Or maybe my mother-in-law. But
yeah.
So it's, but they're not going to tell. They won't rat me out. So you hear that, guys? Don't rat me out. So, but it looks like a record crate, an old school record crate.
Okay.
Right. And so that's the backer for it. And then it's going to slide into another piece of wood that will hold the record on an angle. So like when it's sitting there, it just looks like a record crate.
When you say record crate, do you mean milk crate? Like what the people used to carry their records in?
Yeah.
Got it. Like the old X milk pattern, crate. The X pattern.
Yep. Those plastic ones. So it's out of wood. And I use that acacia wood, right?
Ooh,
so
yeah.
But I messed up the, when I was resawing it, dude, I used the same technique where I cut it on the top and I cut it on the bottom so it had less to remove. But at this time I decided to use the other fence I have. I have two fences.
Yeah. And
the other fence, man, like I just did not do it right. And there was a drift at the end and it jacked up my piece of wood, one of them. So like I was going to have matching wood base thing. Yeah. And now I don't know if I can. So
that's unfortunate.
Yeah,
you gotta get that. You gotta get that bandsaw tuned up, brother.
I think I need
a new blade.
I think I need a new blade. So
yeah,
I don't know how long blades last. And like, it was smoking a little bit, and I'm like, well, that's probably your first sign to get a new blade.
Well, you could also clean your bandsaw blades, because the problem is they get that all that pitch on the teeth, you know what I mean? Which is why they don't cut as well anymore.
What, you just gotta like take a toothbrush and just scrub them all up?
Yeah.
Or like, could I just cut like a bunch of sponges?
A little toothbrush. That's so funny. I don't know how
to do it, bro.
they sell product for it. Like, people I think
I know a lot of shit about tools and woodworking. Like, average at best. I'm just funny.
I don't know. Somebody, that is true. You are funny.
And hot.
People out there can message us what they use to clean out their bandsaw blades. Not that anybody will, but if you want to, feel free to.
Or could you refer a podcast that has talked about it? I'll listen to that shit. Like, you know, we don't have to get into it. Like, I don't really, you know, we've already talked a lot about making shit. So, yeah. Anyways. Fuck the bandsaw thing. I'm finishing a few more mallets. And tomorrow I should get a clear idea on how my epoxy experiment went. So I'm excited to do that. So
that's awesome. That's
we'll really see how cool. it goes.
Yeah. No, the reason I was asking you earlier if you've been on Instagram recently, if you saw Corey moving his giant CNC into his new shop.
Not. Oh, really? I did not see that.
Dude, this thing, he has that massive.
Yeah, the Phantom one.
It's the gigantic. Phantom. Yeah, it's ridiculous. And he got that new shop recently, which is also ridiculous. I mean, it's awesome. I mean, I'm happy for him, but it's just huge. It's just an enormous shop. They moved it to, I don't know when it was, sometime this week they moved it with the forklift, and it was just crazy watching him move that thing, man.
It's just was like the wheel? Was it like one of those extra large forklifts, or was it like what, were the back wheels coming off the ground on it?
No, yeah, no, it was a bigger forklift, like one of the longer ones that have the you know, lower centers of gravity. No, it was just impressive seeing him move that thing, man. I was fucking sitting on my edge of my seat, stressed out the whole time.
Like, man, dude. To move it across town or wherever he had to move it to.
Dude.
Oh, man. Because, like, if anything doesn't work out on that number, like, you might need a dude to come visit you to fix it. You know?
Oh, I'm sure.
Like, which is like, you got to pay for the airfare and the hotel and, you know. It's like, that dude's not local to you. That dude's not down the street. So.
But it was crazy watching it, man. I was just like, holy shit. That's talk about
a message and see how it's working. Yeah, dude, I feel like I've been out of the loop on what's been going on online. So
yeah, I haven't been watching a bunch either, but I just happened to see that the other day when I was looking. It might have been today, I don't remember now. But it was just like, Jesus, man. It made me like think, ugh, if you had to move, like, what's the biggest piece of equipment in your shop?
I mean, well, I just moved my shop, right? And the biggest thing that they moved was my table saw router table, right?
Yeah.
It's like 30 inches wide, 30 something inches wide, and it's like 56 inches long, and it's like, you know, 3-4 feet tall or whatever it is. Like, yeah. No, it's like 40 inches tall, right? I like it extra high. And dude, that thing weighs hundreds of pounds, man. They were freaked out.
Oh, I can imagine.
Actually, when they moved my grill and my smoker, I thought they were going to die. So I told them up front, I'm like, this one here is 400 pounds and that one's 600 pounds. So jeez. I'll be waiting over in the lawn. You know, please don't hurt yourself.
I do. We've never moved yet since we've had our shop, you know, all set up with all the tools and everything. So, like, I always tell Debbie, I'm like, God, I really want to move, you know, to live somewhere else at some point in our life, you know, just to have a new experience. But I do not want to move the shop. Like, I do not want to go spend the time packing everything up and moving all this.
Like a driveway, shit. Right?
We do have a driveway.
Yeah. So, like, you could pull you could pull shit out on your driveway and, like, really get into, like, if you had to, like, you got a landing area, man. Like, that alley shit is sketchy.
Is it? I mean, it's basically, I mean, well, yeah, I guess.
There's potholes, like, you know, the ground's not flat. It's all asphalt. It's not concrete.
Yeah. That makes sense.
And then the dude just, like, everything needed adjustment when I got into my new shop. So,
oh, I'm sure.
Dude, I had an issue with my table saw where the freaking fence came out of alignment. I was like, how the hell did I fix that? Jesus. Like, it was binding up at the end. And I'm like, burning wood, and I'm like, what is going on? And I check it, and I'm like, oh God, it learns fucking shit. Great. I don't like learning things unexpectedly.
Yeah.
Like, how to adjust a fence on a table saw. YouTube search results, zero.
Yeah. That's the worst, when you have to fix something, you're like, oh, YouTube, and there's like nothing there. You're like, son of a bitch. And then you think, like,
How do people do this shit before, man? How do people? I lived before this, but I wasn't handy. Maybe more people were less people were handy.
There were there were more handy men.
I
guarantee you that. There was probably more handy men. Because, like,
it was more of an exclusive club. Like, hey, I earned this knowledge, like, through on-the-job experience and, you know, reading books about woodworking. Now it's like, oh, I watched like 6 videos. I could do that.
Yeah, anybody can. Everybody's fixing their own shit now.
By the way, that is my experience, if you're curious. And that's how I got into woodworking. There you go.
Did you get anything for Christmas?
Oh, man. Huge Christmas for me, man.
Or kids? Did you?
Yeah, well, the kids had a great Christmas. They got a ton of shit, you know. And I actually scored real points, because, like, Jackie, you know, she gave me everything that she wanted, basically. And it's funny, like, I was supposed to share it with the family, but I just bought everything off the list. I like, you guys could buy her puzzles. There you go. Puzzles. you know, and I still bought her two puzzles. Thank God I didn't buy the same ones the other people bought. But I went off script a little bit and I got her lip balms, a bunch of different like Sephora lip balms.
Oh, nice.
And yeah, dude. And she was like, dude, she's like mentioned like three times. She's like, that is like the perfect gift. She's like, I'm always looking for lip balms. I'm like, no.
Nailed it.
I didn't know that, but you know. But I pretended like I did, which is
yeah. You looked like you did.
Good husbandry. That's being a good husband.
Yeah.
But no. So I went out there, but I had a great one. I knew Jackie got me something big, but I had no idea what it was. And she got me two big things. She got me a PlayStation 5.
Oh, dope.
Yeah, bro. Like, I'm impressed so far. Like, and I got the perfect comparison. And then also the other thing she got me was a stovetop popcorn popper. And then she got me, cause I've been trying to perfect the home popcorn game. Right. I've been like, I do this with like stuff that I make a lot, like burgers. I did this where like a year I just made as many burgers as I could until I perfected making burgers. Right.
Okay.
And like I've been doing this with popcorn. So Jackie got me the popcorn popper, which was cool.
What entails a perfect pop as far as popcorn?
So, okay. So I have one of those silicone ones, right? That you put into the microwave, right? It looks like a V-shaped bowl. And basically, the way I started doing it is I would spray the inside with Pam, right? Or cooking spray. And you put the popcorn in, and they put a lid on it, and then you microwave it for 4 minutes, and boom, there's popcorn, right? And I did it like this for a very long time, and I was just sitting there one day, and I was thinking to myself, I'm like, how can I make this popcorn better, right? So I started messing around with it, and the best solution after like maybe 10 tries was I put a tablespoon of butter in there with the kernels. I don't spray it anymore. I put a tablespoon of the butter in there with the kernels, and I put some salt in there, and then I microwave it. And after 4 minutes, it's all popped. But what happens is as it's popping, it's splashing the butter around.
Got it.
So everything is buttered from the first bite to the last bite. But the butter flavor intensifies the more you eat, right? And then also the everything that's at the bottom is also nicely salted. And then you put a little salt on the top. And it like that's the best way I was able to get popcorn out of this thing, right?
Yeah, okay. Sounds delicious.
But now the quest is going to begin to see, like, what about stovetop popcorn, right? So, like, it came with this, like, movie-style, like, oil and, like, popcorn. Like you get the thing, and it came with, like, here it is, this shit you need to try at once, right? So I used that, and, man, if I would have used half of the stuff that they put in there, like it would have been much better because it was so intense that I was like, movie theater popcorn is not this intense. I'm like, this is like on drugs. So then I tried it again with butter. And so I'm going to mess around with it to try to see. And I tried, I tried like maybe six different kinds of popcorn kernels. Right? Oh, yeah, dude. Like I tried Orville.
I didn't realize. Well, okay, different brands. Okay, I get you.
Yeah, like different brands. I want to see what everyone had, man. There was one that was like at a farmer's market different? That was really good, but I can't find it anywhere. Yes, absolutely. The size of the what pops is different. What it tastes like is different. The texture of it's different. Some of them are light like pillows, right? And other ones are more like they have more sharp bits to them, right? And they're more chewy, right? So
interesting.
Yeah. And then like how many of the popcorn, like if you microwave the same amount of time every time, right? How many like unpopped popcorn kernels are in the bottom? Right. It's like I also messed around with how much I put in there. Like I was like, I just want more popcorn. So I put like a third of a cup. And when I did that, it took so long to cook it all that some of the popcorn would get burnt. Right?
Oh, okay.
Right? Which would make all the popcorn taste like shit.
Yeah,
but if you did less popcorn, it all pops, right? But you had to find the right amount of ratio to that with the butter because, like, one time, the butter burnt, right? And that ruined everything. I'm doing a little scientific testing, bro.
That's crazy. What is your
lot of weed and a lot of desire to make the perfect snacks.
What is your stovetop popcorn maker look like?
It's got like a lid on it, right? That like opens up and you can dump shit out, and then on the handle it's got a crank. And the crank goes down the middle to a gear thing, and it goes to the bottom of it where there's like two wires sticking out just to move what's on the bottom of the pot so it just doesn't sit there.
Interesting.
Yeah. So okay. It's really thin metal. So it's kind of like, to me, it makes me think of like a nicer version of the Jiffy Pop, you know?
I love Jiffy Pop.
Yeah, I've never had Jiffy Pop, by the way.
What?
No.
Are you serious?
I don't think I have had it. Yeah,
wow. I grew up eating Jiffy Pop. Dude, I still make Jiffy Pop for my kids.
Oh, dude, I should try some of that. But Jackie just got me this thing, so I'm gonna have to Google some research now.
Yeah, I make popcorn.
My YouTube algorithm is about to take a hard left.
I make popcorn in a on the stovetop. I have one of those Copper Chef, you know, the Copper Chef pans. Have you seen those at the store? So yeah, I have the square inch nine inch pan. It's square. Yeah. It's about, 6 inches deep or something like that. And it comes with a glass.
It's funny when you did said 6 inches deep. I know I'm high, because when you said 6 inches deep, you had your fingers like on the top and bottom of your microphone, and it looked like you're talking about the size of your penis. I'm so high, bro. I'm gonna get out this podcast. I have no fucking idea what we talked about. Anyways.
So it's like normal, you mean?
How thick was it?
6 inches thick. But this pan works great. I use it all the time. And I put no oil in the pan. I just dump the kernels directly into the bottom of the pan and heat it on medium. And it takes about, 3 or 4 minutes for them to pop, and turns out perfect every time.
It's got like a special lid?
It's just got a glass top lid I just leave it on, and the kids love to come over and peek in there as it's doing its thing, and it starts to steam a little bit, and then I time it to wipe it off the steam right before they pop, so they can watch them pop, and every once in a while I misjudge it and a few escape out of the top before I get it back on. We make a lot of popcorn here, but I've never thought to try different kernel. I mean, we're just always Orville Redenbacher or whatever that they sell at store.
It's all scientific, man. Like for my house drink, finding the perfect ratio of water to that mix took a long time, bro.
You know what we didn't talk about last week when we brought up the party at your mom's house? You never gave us the review on the Purple Saurus Rex.
Fuck that. The Purple Saurus Rex, that's not the thing, okay? Look, the Purple Saurus Rex Jell-O was fine. It was different. Watching my dad eat it was the best, right? Because he took a bite of it, and he's like, that's different. And I'm like, what do you think? He was like, I like it. I'm enjoying it, but it's different,
Yeah.
So, but that's not the thing, bro. Holy hell, you have lit the North Shore Jewish community on fire.
What?
Yes. You have caused so much drama with North Shore Jews that I can't even begin to tell you what you've done, bro. Like, holy fucking shit, right? So I'm at my parents' house. Did I tell you about the jelly donut fiasco that you caused?
No, I gotta hear this.
Fucking God, bro. Seriously, dude. Like, so I roll into Hanukkah, and I'm like, hey, I'm like, have you ever heard of jelly donuts for Hanukkah? Right? My mom is like, no. Like, no. And she looks at my dad, and she's like, I'm like, what, have you heard of this? He was like, never. Like, jelly donuts? I'm like, it was a question on this quiz that Ben found, right?
Yeah.
And they said that jelly donuts are a big part of Hanukkah. And like, they're both walked out of there. Like, I walked out, and they were talking about it at the end still. Like, that's not a thing. I'm like, I know it's not a thing. You're talking about it. I have the same Hanukkah experience that you have for the last fucking 40 something years. Like,
yeah,
I know it's not a thing. Like, so I thought it was going to die right there, but it didn't. Right?
Yeah.
Oh, no, bro. They started talking to all their it became a topic of conversation. I had to call you today. I didn't ask you a question. And my son was over, and he said the jelly donuts was a thing for Hanukkah. Have you ever heard of a jelly donuts as a thing for Hanukkah? No, I've never heard of it. I'm completely outraged. Like, this is a, are you kidding me? Who says these things? It is not a thing. I'm like, I know. That's what I told him. Well, I'm telling you, right? And then fucking that grandparent talks to the dude. Like, I guarantee you that, like if I spent more than 5 minutes on fucking Facebook, I would hear about, I would read about the jelly donut Hanukkah scandal thing, right? You've completely lit the North Shore on fire, bro. Way to go.
I love it. I, you know,
I mean, I guess it's about a wholesome thing, so that's good. Like, it could be worse. Like, people arguing about jelly donuts. Are they a thing or not? Like,
I want to know if it's a thing.
There's it is not a thing.
Then how the hell did it make it onto that fucking
quiz? Fucking quiz was written by a person who's never celebrated Hanukkah. Like,
they were just picked a random thing to put in there. Like, it's just...
So you know random. What it is? It's probably some asshole thought it'd be funny if they put that on Wikipedia, right?
Yeah.
And then they would look check Wikipedia before fucking writing this article. It's like, jelly donuts are a thing. And it's like, no, they're not. What the fuck's wrong with you, man? How'd that make the quiz? That's the part that kills me. It's like, how, like, you know, they just
the editor. The editor.
Like, there is no editor on the quiz. Like, does anybody take the fucking quiz and look at the answers before you put it out there? Like,
Don't disparage the fine people at Beano for putting out their quizzes.
Wow. You hear that, Mom? That's the person you need to go contact about this fucking quiz, the jelly donut scandal. I was like, it was either that or Yorkshire pudding, and I knew that wasn't a thing.
Oh, my God, dude. That's so funny.
Yeah, man. So thanks for dude, that.
So perfect. So the Purple Source Rex meal. The what'd you say?
I said, "Way to go! You trolled them all at once."
I do what I can.
You want his phone number? I could give it to you. You guys just DM me. Or talk to my mom. She has all of his information at this point.
Oh God, it's so funny.
What were we trying to talk about? I'm just really high. I'm hyper focused on the stupidest things.
That was it. That was all we had to talk about. I was just curious about the Purple Source Rex dessert because we never got a review on it.
It was really good. I enjoyed it.
That's good.
It was not as good as the orange flavored one. So and my mom had some orange flavored Jell-O, and I wanted to take it with me. But I was going straight to meet a friend for lunch, so I couldn't leave the jet. It's over like 50 degrees in Chicago right now. It's freaking like summer again. I can't believe it. All that's our culture thrown away, dude. We're back in action, baby. It's gonna be like
that's so 50 weird.
To 60 for the next week, dude. It's like a gift. It was cold long enough that my body got used to the cold. So now everything above 40 feels like I could be out there with just a t-shirt on.
Crazy.
Yeah.
That is crazy. The weather around this place is nuts, dude. Like I said, on Christmas, it was 80 here, and it was freaking blizzarding in Michigan the same day, like across the other side of the country. It's just
wild, bro.
Yeah, it is wild.
Nature, bro. It's a trip.
Nature,
let's talk about the woods and nature and shit. Let's talk about acorns. No one ever talks about acorns anymore.
Nobody gives acorns respect.
Yeah.
No respect.
I mean, they're nature's scrub brush. Like, people eat acorns?
I have no idea. I've never seen any. I've been watching that show Alone on Netflix. Nobody's ever eaten an acorn on there. So
they eat Alone anything. Like a survival show?
Oh, yeah, bro. It's on. Well, it was started on the History Channel.
I finished The Recruit, by the way.
Oh, that was a great show.
The season finale. I was like, that last like minute of the season finale, I was just like, fuck.
Yeah, I know.
When's the other season drop?
I know.
Jesus.
And eight episodes, man. These shows only hard landing, bro.
It was a hard landing.
Seriously hard.
Yeah, only 8 episodes. Like normal, some shows I'm like 8 is plenty. I'm like this show. Yeah. I'm like, could you at least make it 10? Like,
yeah, I could have used more also, and I also finished Jack Ryan, which we really enjoyed.
I'm gonna have to check that one out because I'm in between shows right now. So,
yeah, I just started Breaking Bad or not Breaking Bad. The second
Better Call
one.
Saul.
Better Call Saul. I just started that, and I'm halfway through the first season. It's good. I'm enjoying it. It's slower than I anticipated. You know what I mean? It's kind of like a slow paced show, but I love Bob Odenkirk. He's great.
I mean, that Nobody movie was fucking fantastic. Oh,
so good, dude. I fucking love that movie.
I've got more people to watch Old Boy too, by the way. And more people have told me how fucked up I am and why would I ever recommend a movie like that.
Seriously, dude. Stop recommending that movie. It was decent. It was good, but it's so fucked up. It's so fucked up.
It is what we need in our lives right now. It's just a little bit of like, holy fucking shit. You know, a little drama that doesn't hurt anybody.
Just, yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, it hurt him, but that I don't know how you play that role and then be normal afterwards.
Dude, seriously. Wackadoo.
Could you watch that sex scene again, knowing what you know?
No, it's so wrong, dude. It's just so wrong.
You look like you're about to throw up,
dude. It's gross, bro.
Don't throw up, bro.
I'm okay.
Take deep breaths. Yeah, bite your lip or something. I don't know. Spray some space Starbound activator in your mouth.
That might be better. No, I got a bottle of alcohol right here.
It says it probably right on this bottle. It's right next to me. So extremely flammable. That's the warning.
Do not ingest.
I've just been sitting here spraying this at fires. I don't know what the fuck's wrong with me. Keep out of reach of children. I let Bubs use this before. I am a horrible parent. Doesn't say anything about not edible, though. You're good.
So. Yeah, spray it away. Spray away.
Yeah.
Right. You got any shout outs?
You know, I do, and I forgot it. So why don't you go first?
My shout out, I was actually not even, it's not really even a shout out. I don't really have a shout out. I was just blown away this week by watching Ben Myers, your buddy, who you were happened to be talking to right before we started this podcast. I'm tripping out on the new bamboo printer and what he's doing with it. I'm just like, I was just blown away by everything he's doing. His mini Batman. He's now printing Lego. Like, dude, how cool is that?
He sold all of his printers. He sold every single one, and he's going to have 3 bamboo printers. And he got this one attachment that they sell, where it's this filament hub, right?
Yeah.
So it has. You could buy a 4 color filament changer, right? That sits on top, so you could print in multiple colors, right? I'm going to try it for the first time tomorrow. So it's got this filament changer on the top, and but you could take and daisy chain 4 of these into this.
Oh, wow!
So with one printer, you could print 16 colors.
Whoa,
bro! Like,
that's gonna be
like,
insane.
And like, I've talked to Dave about this, and like, because you know, Dave knows, man. Dave was the one. I got it. Look, my shout out is to Dave, where the engineers for the company had not yet figured out how to fix my issue that I was having with my printer. And it was me, by the way. I was the issue. I am the problem. It's me.
It was operator error.
Okay. It was operator error. Dave and I were able to figure it out together. And he is the one that made that happen. And ever since then, it's been rock and roll all day, every day. But
nice.
But yeah, dude, you could is like, if you have money to spend on a nice printer, like, look, I can't even tell you. It's incredible.
Well, I'm just excited. Yeah, I'm excited to see, like, the multicolored things that he prints. You know what I'm saying? Like, that opens up to so many different things. Because you can start painting with it, in a sense.
Ben's been getting after it, dude.
Like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That that Lego Batman, like, my first thought was, is there a Lego Joker also?
Dude, that would be sick.
Because if I could print the Lego Batman, I want to print the Lego Joker as well.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
You know?
And then the sides that he, the print that he did where he put the Lego system on the sides of the printer, and then he had little things that you could write, you could click in there and write little sayings and cool shit like that. I just thought that was so neat. So neat.
Yeah, so I'm in the process of trying to design one of those too, but mine is going to look like Star Wars.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah.
Because you can print your own shell for this thing. I remember you telling me that, right? That's the idea.
And they have like four different ones, right?
Okay.
That you can download, and they all, I mean, like, dude, the box comes with the screws to print your own shell and attach it. Because, like, I was wondering, like, you know, like, do they tell you what screws you need to buy to screw this? No, dude, they don't tell you what screws you need to buy. They give you the screws. And every fucking screw on this whole goddamn machine is all done with one Allen wrench. Like, everything. They give you one Allen wrench, and it does everything. Because I took this thing apart a couple times. So, which I did not need to do, by the way, because I'm a fucking idiot. So, anyways, my shout out is to Dave from DIY, 3D DIY Dave. He's my partner in crime outside of this podcast. And he is just a great dude, and he's wildly creative and funny as fuck. So yeah, if you've not checked out Dave, he's as smart as he seems.
And uber talented at photo retouching and photo. Oh, the one he just did with you guys of
the Christmas one
was so good, dude. So good.
He's like, and he was like, why can't I collab with you? And I'm like, 'cause Instagram won't let me collab anymore, bro. Just like, for shame. But yes, that thing is hilarious. And I was like, bro, are you going to do one for Valentine's Day next? Because, I mean,
it's so funny. I told him the same thing. I'm like, bro, now it's like a series. I told him, I was like, I can't wait for the St. Patty's Day one where you guys are riding on a rainbow with a bag of gold in the back, both dressed as leprechauns. Oh, I already see it.
Dude, that'd be fucking amazing. His photo skills are incredible. He said he's sending me one of those too. So I'm gonna print it and put it next to
you guys are gonna have a whole series of these. It's gonna be great. All the different holidays. I can see Flag Day,
dude, you know. Like the fucking photo that we took, right? Like, I wasn't paying attention to what he was just doing. I was just acting like an idiot, right?
Yeah.
And he was doing what he was doing, not looking at me, right? He was just acting like an idiot. So like when we looked at the photo, like on Alma's phone, we're both like, oh my God, that's the funniest fucking picture. Like, I didn't know you were doing that. He's like, I didn't know you were doing anything stupid. I'm like, oh man.
It was perfect. It's just perfect.
Yeah. So he's the nicest dude. So good. So.
Oh yeah.
I don't tell people to reach out to him typically because I don't want to cut in on my time with him. So. So don't DM his ass. It's my time.
That's Luke time.
Yeah.
So. LT baby.
Oh yeah. So. He printed the Merry Titsmas tree. So, do you see that?
Oh, he did? I didn't see that.
Yeah, my buddy Nick Birchtold designed a Christmas tree that was all boobs.
Yeah.
He sent it to us, and Dave printed it already. So, I didn't have my printer working, so I didn't print it. But I have the file for next year. I'm going to try to sneak it on the tree and see if anybody notices.
You need to get the file, 3D print it, and then make a mold of it. So then you can send it up to Andrew, and he can make candles out of it.
Ooh,
booby candles,
the titty candle Christmas tree,
scented titty candle Christmas tree.
Oh my God, I don't know. Like, we joked around, Alma and Nick and I, that we're going to start a OnlyFans page. It is just the finishing pass of the titty stuff. Like. This is not the first time conversation I've had about that dude today, too. He's Nick Birchtold and Alma from Pink Soul Studios. Both of them are local here. Birchtold Designed. Both are amazing people. Check them out, too. So
yeah, man, that's awesome.
I've given them both shout outs before. Yeah, but hey, we're on season two. Might as well. Fuck it.
Yeah.
Everything that happened in season one doesn't count. That was our practice run.
Yeah, it was a practice run, exactly.
Oh, all shit. Right. I did not get the Patreon thing right. Stall for time, Ben. Stall for time.
We'll vamp here.
You know what I did instead of pull up the Patreon list?
What is that?
I smoked a bowl.
Oh.
So I'm in a great position. Okay. There we go. I got it. All right.
Here we go.
All right. We would like to give a big shout out and thank you to our patrons this week. Those patrons include the following people: Kyle Foote from the Footwork Woodworking, Matthew Gerard from the Wooden Moustache. I'm trying to get the list open while I do this.
I know you are.
Lee Oman from Regal Street.
Oh, man.
Mike Holmes from the Broken Lead Woodworks. Dave One Grit Wirt. That dude freaking got after it for the holidays. Made a ton of stuff. And he's,
yeah.
I didn't ask him how much he sold. That guy is trying to light it on fire. My mom, Elise Gelman.
Hey.
Dude. You know, like, if I wasn't so high, I would understand what these notes I put in my thing to describe Dave's beard. But heck, I guess we're going with an AI one. Strap it on. Dave the Thriller Miller. He's got a beard so thick you could lose a small child in it. Like fucking Hansel and Gretel. That was one of the AI generated ones. Holy shit, that was funny. Wait, there's more people. Fuck, I just stopped after Dave. Thought I was done. Billy Essence, Zimba Woodwood Co. Corey Stanley from Odyssey CNC. Back and better than ever, the unofficial loop of the podcast, Bumble Shoots. I'm going to have to get off as soon as this podcast is over. The Collingwood Canoe Company. Grant from Dad Crafted Rider.
Yeah.
Riders Custom Creations. I think I saw him post. He probably did. Jason Sullivan, J.M. Sullivan Woodworks. Kamani from Venstray Designs.
Venstray.
And the fine Luke, Priscilla, and Lily, the fine folks at P.L. Smith. Last I checked, they were dangerously close to 4,000 followers.
Nice.
So, I don't usually shout out people, patrons during there, because they always get shout out. So, you should definitely check them out. He does cool shit.
Yeah, definitely. Nice work, my friend.
Oh, my God,
dude. Way to pull through at the end.
I fucking totally forgot that I had to finish that list. I was just laughing about that stupid... His beard so thick you lose a small child. Like Hansel and Gretel and shit. Like, they're going to find a witch inside of his beard that has a house made of gingerbread and
try to eat you. Two little children.
Yeah. It's like the Black Forest, man. It's like, all there's mythological shit in there.
Big bad wolves in there.
The last unicorn died in his beard.
Hansel and Gretel. A little Red Riding Hood.
Oh, yeah, dude. that was a twist.
The whole fairy little the whole fairy tale story land is in his beard. There you go. Yeah. All right. Well, it for season 2, episode 2.
You know, somebody he should go and record ours talking about his beard from everyone and edit together. 50 something. We weren't doing the Patreon for a year yet, so
no.
Only got like 30 episodes to do it, and we just go the last 10 minutes. Enjoy that editing job, bro. Take it away, Tim. Balls, balls, balls. And it's over.
This has been a Conman Creative production. Text us anytime at 908-768-2664 or send us a message on our Instagram, The Jointery Podcast. You can find Ben at Condorosa Creations or Luke at Luke in the Garage. Everywhere that social media is sold. That's garage, not garage. Say it properly.